Beaming out across the galaxy, this is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Once I was in San Francisco, walking along the Golden Gate Bridge, and I saw this guy on the bridge about to jump. I thought I'd try to stall him, detain him, long enough for me to put the film in. I said, "Don't jump," and he turns. You've heard of the Elephant Man. He had the head like the head of a horse. And my heart went out to him. I said, "Why the long face?" He said, "All my life, people have called me cruel names like Flicka, Trigger, Silver, Chess Piece." I said, "Well, don't worry about it, Ed. It can't be that bad." He said, "Oh, yeah? How would you like to go through your whole life as a freak?" I said, "Well," he said, "well, you're a bad example." I said, "Come on. You're not the only person in this world saddled with a few problems. Don't be mule-headed. Stop horsing around and get down from there, you silly ninny." He said, "Why go on? In 100 years, the planet will be uninhabitable. In 10 million years, the sun will burn out. In 100 billion years, all matter will disintegrate from the universe." I said, "Perhaps, but in the meantime, in between time, ain't we got fun?" "Besides, you're forgetting about God." He said, "How do you know there's a God?" I said, "Of course there's a God. Do you think billions of years ago, a bunch of molecules floating around at random without rhyme or reason could someday have had the sense of humor to make you look like that?" He said, "I used to believe in God." I said, "That's good. Were you a Christian or a Jew?" He said, "A Christian." I said, "Me too. Protestant or Catholic?" He said, "Protestant." I said, "Me too. What franchise?" He says, "Baptist." I said, "Me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?" He says, "Northern Baptist." I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?" He says, "Northern Conservative Baptist." I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist or Northern Conservative Reform Baptist?" He says, "Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist." I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region or Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Eastern Region?" He says, "Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region." I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. He says, "Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. I said, "Die, heretic." And I pushed him away.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone here on FreemanTV.com, where we have been going at it for 10 years now, a full decade. It was 10 years ago this week that the Freeman Perspective first broadcast out of Access Television in Austin, Texas. Amazing, guys, that 10 years has gone and here we are, still rocking and rolling. Tonight we bring to you The Christian Show. Yes, we've promised it for some time, and we feel it is time to bring this heady topic to the surface. Now, you are going to get a few more Christian broadcasts out of the Free Zone in the coming shows, because we will be meeting up with all of the wonderful speakers that will be at the Back to the Future conference in Austin, Texas, the end of July. Check freemantv.com for details. So I will be bringing Christian broadcasts out here, but realize that this will continue still, that on this show we have had Christian, Muslim, Satanist, Braillian, I mean, Gnostic, OTO, Freemason, you know, the list goes on and on. We are not biased here, and we do not discriminate. I believe everybody that puts their mind to a topic and to an understanding has something to give. And I believe that the Christian community has brought more to this truther movement than most of the beings on this planet. It really bubbled up right out of that society to bring us so much of the understanding that we have today. Granted, the Freeman perspective took that one more layer and decided to open up the occult perspectives to you, and really was the very first show to ever openly discuss occult practices in combination with the New World Order. Because the Christians didn't want to go there. They didn't want to know. They didn't want to study those books or have Crowley on their shelves. So a lot of that information got left out. Jamie and I dug deep, and we have brought you knowledge that has been brought nowhere else. Where else will you find the true sign of the mark of the beast, according to these very Satanists? How can you find the understanding and your necessary needs to gather the information so that you can make the critical understanding that is necessary to help all of us transcend into a better paradigm, right? Well, as a result of last week's show with Johnny Cerucci, which I highly recommend you check out, it was filled with wonderful information, amazing detail and data, and his tome is worth the read. But as a response to the show with Johnny Cerucci, or Rob Cicci, as this writer puts it, I got an email. And this is the type of response that I might get from having a Christian on the broadcast. Dear Freeman, unbelievable. I turned your program off with Rob Cicci after he said he believed in the crucifixion and the myth of Jesus and all that bullshit. The papacy and Christianity are all Jewish vassals and always have been. Only a conquered people worship the archetypal myth of their master. I am probably never going to listen to your program again. It is clear it has a Christian agenda. And this is the problem with the world today. The false beliefs of the faiths of Abraham, the basic mind control, constant child abusers with scary stories, complete frickin' nuts. These people are deluded, dangerously deranged. My imaginary friend is better than yours, claiming moral superiority, blah blah. You might redeem yourself one day, Freeman, by having intelligent scholars on your program. Rest assured, your country will be destroyed from within. Good luck. So, you just can't win. You just can't win. And there is a multitude of understanding that could come from this reaction to a Christian broadcast. And Jamie and I are going to get deep into understanding what would trigger someone to have such a violent response to such a simple thing as somebody's faith. And then we're also going to dig into this faith. There are many layers that you can look at this puzzle. We can look at it biblically and try to understand the Bible. We can look at it politically and understand the institutions that brought this stuff to the surface. Why is this the one book that is carried through as a solid religion? Or we can look straight to, well, of course, we have the Emo Phillips and all of the Discordian displays of Christianity that there are. And that's what we want to understand today. And Jamie is my resident expert in Christianity. She was in the church band, sitting in the pews, and was brought there quite often. So, Jamie, welcome to the Free Zone.
Hey, everybody. So I wanted to do this show for a long time, and I've been keeping my notes together so we could get it all packed in. But yeah, it's true. I was raised Christian as Christian could be. My parents were Christian. My grandparents, my aunts, uncles, everybody around me was a Christian. We went to church 3 times a week. Every time the door was open, we were there. I went to a Christian private school up until grade six. And after that, I was homeschooled with a Christian curriculum. And this is something where I just, I kind of cheated a little bit where I didn't really do the curriculum, but this allowed me free time to go into my own studies and figure out how to learn and why to learn and what I wanted to learn. And, you know, I think this is a better way for kids to learn than a set curriculum at a school. But so I had a lot of free time to think, and we were still going to church 3 times a week. But my experience in the church was always in the nursery, because my mother, my little brother would not be separated from my mother. And so every stage that in development he was at, she would have to be in there. So if he was in the nursery, she'd be in the nursery. If he was in Sunday school, first grade, she'd be teaching that class, and up and up and up. And I was right along with her. And so I really grew up in the church nursery, listening, because, you know, even as a teenager, I would just go hang out in the nursery because I'd heard everything the pastor had to say already, and I had deeper insights into all these things than even they did. So it wasn't really a learning experience for me. But this is where I really worked a lot with kids, and this is why all of our stuff is geared towards children. And I worked with children in a foster family agency when I became an adult. So almost my whole life has been spent with the babies in the nursery and on up like that. And even to the point where I would be the one sitting in the rocking chair, and they would hand me a crying baby, and I'd put it to sleep and give the baby back, and then they hand me another crying baby.
I put that baby to sleep.
Yeah. So this is my experience in the church. And also, there's a lot of things that we are going to get into tonight, because right now it feels like Armageddon is upon us. We've got, you know, these creepy things like Jade Helm, and the Walmart's closing in America, and the Target's closing in Canada, and, you know, what are they preparing for? What are they gearing up to do? We've got particles colliding, we've got earthquakes happening, we've got fish dying, you know, a third of the Pacific Ocean is dying from Fukushima, and this all sounds very much like Revelations, so this is something we need to pay attention to and wonder if this is happening because it was prophesied to happen. You know, just because it was a prophecy, someone's going to make it happen. Right?
It seems like once you put something into the consciousness of humanity, we have the power to manifest it. And I think some of the problem here is the Christian understanding that they are just here to wait to go to heaven. Now, let me give my my introduction to Christianity just a little bit, because it was slightly different. And that way that people will understand where we're coming from. My family was, well, my mother especially, was afraid of religion. She was repelled by religion. And this was due to a Catholic school experience that she went through before she found her home. And so she was, you know, abused by these nuns, and she was beaten and spit on by children under the authority of the nuns and things of this nature. So when my family had no religion. By the time I was born, my father was out of Freemasonry. My mother hadn't seen an Eastern Star Lodge in 20, 30 years.
Well, can I just interject the story about your mother when the Nazis took over her town? They went underneath her Catholic school, and they found body parts and baby skeletons and sex toys and a passage between the nuns and the priest quarters. And the Nazis brought all this to light and said, look what we're saving you from, right?
Yeah.
But here again, so here's the first point I want to make. Christianity is not Catholicism. Right. So you can just put an equal sign with a slash through it right there. Right. So everything that the Catholic Church has done is satanic.
Yeah, and this is what most people consider Christianity. When they talk about the failings of Christianity, they talk about the Inquisition. They talk about the losing things over here. They talk about the the destruction of knowledge, the holy wars, the Inquisition, the Crusades, and of course all of these things are not Christian failings, but Catholic failings. So yes, they this Catholic organization has put a face on Christianity that has really destroyed the message of Jesus.
Exactly, and it's really weakened the Christians' power to fight the dark side, and this is what we're doing. You know, we're all defense against the dark arts professors, if we want to take it to Harry Potter. We're supposed to be learning about what our enemy is doing so we can combat this, right? And it's the email that you read at the beginning, in my opinion, that's Christianity's fault.
Yeah.
For creating that attitude. By their attitude, and we're going
to okay, well, that takes me right back to my introduction to Christianity.
Right.
Because I was just a young lad, and I had a best friend. We had been best friends from the time we were 6 months old. You know, we were in cribs together. And all I knew of his family, really, was that they were mean. And I came to learn, my mom would tell me, well, they're Christian. And so this meant to me mean. And as I learned of the religious connections of each of my neighbors and any of them that were Christian, their family was mean. And I was frightened by them. I didn't want to be around them at all. And that was all I knew about Christianity. I had never stepped into a church. I had never seen a sermon. As a matter of fact, my very first sermon was just maybe 2 years ago. When I finally got to see one. I have been brought into a church once or twice, but every time there was always some special event going on, and I was afforded not having a sermon, right? So I had no understanding of religion or the religious. All I knew was that these were the mean people that were so strict to their children that they were chewing their fingers off. All I could see was the results on my best friend, with his neurosis and his cuticles, you know, chewed down to the nub, this poor guy. So that was my understanding of Christianity. I was raised without any sort of religion in my life.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so it's like Christians, if you're going to profess this, you have a really big responsibility
representing your clan.
Yes, to represent Jesus in a good light and to make this something that other people want to be a part of.
Right.
Right? And here's another experience we had with a Christian a little bit ago. A friend tells me, she calls me up and she said, I was listening to another show and they were talking about Freeman and how he was a Satanist on another talk show.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is just so ridiculous. And so this kind of made me mad because these Christians take some of our things and they put them out there, but then they call us Satanists for knowing what's in the dark side.
Right.
Right? And we actually got a really good show out of that because we took the guests from that show and put them on our show, and we had a really good show. But my emails between this host and myself, I was saying we are definitely not Satanists. You know, we are not like that. We represent the light and Jesus or whatever you want. And he was like, well, are you born in the blood? Are you KGV? Are you this? Are you that? It was the Emo Phillips, you know, list of how many of these points do we have to agree on before we can be friends?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it's almost like every time somebody irks me, irritates me, or gets under my skin or abuses me on Facebook, it's a Christian.
It's true.
And even to the point where when we went to Austin to debut Weird Stuff and we gave a talk on that, afterwards a Christian lady came up and yelled, screaming in my face, shaking, made me shake like a leaf. Everybody surrounded me behind me because they thought she was going to get violent and telling me that I am evil by mixing magic and Christianity together.
Right. Yeah. And let me tell you, folks, I have been on the stage, you know, a number of years now, and never once, not once, have I ever been yelled at, heckled, or anything from the audience. But I have watched Jamie go on stage, and every single time, and this is three in a row consecutive, that Jamie would go up on stage, give her presentation, and be attacked verbally and angrily by a Christian in the audience. And
in my attitude, I'm just trying to help.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm coming from the same perspective you are, maybe not so far as to... what is my official stance? I don't really care for the Old Testament.
Yeah.
I don't really care for all the laws and everything in there, but I do realize that there is eternal truth in the gospel and in the... What do you call it? Example of Jesus Christ.
Right. Okay. Now there is another big conundrum in this situation, because I personally love all the red words in the Bible, right? And those, if you don't know, are the words of Jesus. I have been out there as a nomad gathering love and challenges, and I have learned a faith in a higher power. And I would believe, as I was traveling, that it would be my job, my true purpose, to be like Jesus. And in so many realms, this is heretical. This is like, what are you trying to say? You know, you think you're Jesus. I mean, David Icke suffered ultimately for making that statement. But that, to me, should be the Christian goal, is to be like Jesus.
But they don't even know what he's like.
Right.
So they're going to these mega churches, these big productions, these stadium-sized things with a slick used car salesman preacher up there in a suit and tie looking just like a politician. And it's nothing like what Jesus will look like if he was here today.
Well, I believe Jesus would be thrown out of a church if he were to show up today. And you know, the amazing thing is back in Roman times, the Romans would tell the Christians, cut your hair. Look like a Roman. Don't look like that, you hooligan. And that was the Christians, you know, that were... And now it's the Christians telling me, or, you know, others like me that have the long hair, cut that stuff off and act right and put on a suit and tie and look like a proper Roman.
Christian.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. You know, yeah,
but, which one?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so now that we live in South Carolina, we're right in the Bible Belt, right? And there are so many churches that you can't even count them all. They're on every street corner. And I'm thinking in my mind, if they're really living the true religion that can bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, then this would be more of a paradisical place. There'd be more understanding, there'd be more charity, there'd be more Christian principles. It wouldn't be just like everywhere else, but it is. And so in that way, we're seeing that these little local churches are not doing things that are enriching the community in a tangible way.
Yeah, and as we've seen, they also use being Christian as a sales ploy. You want to do your business with us.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if we had made this a Christian show, we would have probably, you know, be making money at this or something by now. But it's an interesting trigger. And that's really what we're talking about here, is you triggered that radio host, or I did, but you triggered him by coming back and saying, I am a Christian, and him saying, well, what type of Christian are you? And I triggered that poor fellow with the email by having a Christian guest on. And what we're really discussing here is the trigger of religion. Because, I mean, if you're seriously going to discount and discredit every person that holds a personal faith, now, you know, it doesn't have to be Christianity, it could be Muslim, it could be Jewish, and you're going to discount and discredit anyone that's willing to have this as their worldview, then you're going to be sitting quite alone, and you're going to learn jack squat, because you need to speak with all of these beings, mm-hmm. all of these people in the different cultures, and understand them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that our very concept of religion and Christianity morphs, obviously, or all the religions morph over time, and we start to fulfill personal identity crises with this situation.
Yeah, and another point I want to make is these churches aren't telling you the truth. They're not. Do you go to church? Do you learn about the Federal Reserve? Do you learn about corporations? Do you learn about ancient history? Do you learn about sacred geometry? I mean, even in the beginning of Christianity, a church was not a building.
Right. No, that's very...
It was a gathering of people. Well, it was a group, right?
Yeah,
and the temple was nature.
Yeah.
And temples are for Masons, right?
Right.
but Christians should be in nature because that's God's temple.
Okay, so actually, before the King James Version came out, when the original translations, the word was congregation, not church. And congregation, of course, is the people. And so through the simple magic of wordplay, by changing that word from congregation to church, you have now changed the entire focus from the people to the edifice, to the institution. And you bring up the sermons and what the people are saying. And as a person that just walked cold into a church, not cold physically, but cold mentally, having no idea of what I was going to hear from a sermon. And I'm hearing, bathe yourself in the blood of the Lamb. I'm hearing words that mean nothing to me, right? This combination of words going together that make absolute sense to the cult that I'm seeing in front of me as they bob and bow and amen. They obviously understood the terminology of what this man was saying. But me, I had no idea what any of that meant. And it was kind of freaking me out when they were talking about eating people and drinking blood.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's your perspective because you don't know the terminology of what they're talking about. And I want to get into some other things, and we'll talk about the blood and stuff when we talk about crucifixion.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make the point that many of the pioneer conspiracy theorists were Christian. Look at William Cooper. Look at Fritz Springmeier. I mean, we wouldn't know hardly anything about mind control if it hadn't been for him.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't even have me if there was no Christianity, because that's where I learned the conspiracy. You know, there's little cliques in the church where my parents went to that were into the truth and did see the signs happening and were trying to fight this early on. And so we can't discredit Christianity in the conspiracy truth movement because
it was at the heart.
Yeah.
It started and, this whole
because they'll go there with the dark side. You know, they believe in demons. They believe in the devil. They believe in all these things that the sorcerers are using against us. And they believe they have the antidote, and I agree.
Well, now, one fault that we found in this situation, when we look at someone like Fight Ministries, what was it?
Good Fight Ministries.
Good Fight Ministries,
exactly.
Okay. So when you're looking at a situation like that, mm-hmm. where they're bringing this, I mean, they make you believe in Satan.
Yeah.
When you watch, they sold their souls for rock and roll. I highly recommend you guys watch this because by the end of it, you will believe in Satan. But what?
But they never mention government, monarch, MK Ultra, any of those things that would lead you to a higher understanding of what's happening in the three-dimensional world.
Yes.
So why? Why they have millions of views talking about the same exact satanic rituals that we talk about in music and popular culture, but they never give you that extra piece to let you put the puzzle together?
Never connect the government, the mind control program, CIA, mm-mm. not once.
So
would
that
you ever
is
hear that?
So suspicious to me. And even Mark Dice, who is a Christian,
mm-hmm.
and a J-E-R-K, you know, he never talks about monarch mind control or anything beyond it's just satanic.
Right.
So there you go. If you're going to a church, these people, what they would call them in the church, lukewarm. They're just like posers, really, of Christianity, and not even good ones. And there are so many different denominations, and they all fight each other. And so this is another thing, like, the dark side likes is for people to infight with each other.
Your parents were basically thrown out of or left every church they ever attended.
Yeah, definitely. And even, okay, so I'll tell you how Christianity ruined my little brother. He was the sweetest little helpful child, you know, just a bright little star. And my parents were, I was already adult this time. My parents were going to a church that was supported by Jack Hiles. And so Jack Hiles is a super strict mega church out of Chicago. And they send out their missionaries and they make churches in other places, but they all adhere to the same like Jack Hiles principles, which is just crazy. Like, girls have to wear dresses 24/7 and they have to have their makeup on and their hair done all the time, and boys have to have that short haircut and suit and tie, just
the Roman attire.
Yeah, and corporate as heck, right? And just super strict. And so my parents were singing in the band at this church, at this Jack Hiles satellite church, and Josh was part of that, and he had some hair that went over his ear. He had shaggy hair because his hair is curly, so it was a little shaggy. And the pastor is always telling him to cut it. He's like, no, I just like it like this length. You know, it wasn't even long.
Right.
And so my family band was slated to play when they were having some visitors come from the main church. And it happened that the pastor lied to us and said there was a schedule conflict and we couldn't play, or just some excuse that my parents wouldn't be on the stage with Joshua and his long hair when visitors were coming. And my brother, my little brother, caught him in the lie. He caught the pastor in the lie.
Right.
And he never was the same.
Right.
Ever. He just dropped the entire issue. He turned to rock and roll. He turned to skateboarding. He turned to Linkin Park music, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones. Created exactly another Crowley. And he is a hellraiser to this day.
Right. Wow. Hey, you know what? I can reflect on authoritative incidences in my own life for every one of those insults. You know, authority is really one of the big issues here, and a pastor standing up there acting as if he's superior, and the amount of adoration that comes out of the flock for this man is very bizarre to me, and the standing that he feels and what he feels, or but authority seems to be at fault here in this situation.
And just status quo looks, you know, it's not your heart, it's your appearance to them.
To be forced into this corporate uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not about what you do or, you know, what you're singing from your heart, that you wrote a song for the God on the stage.
Yeah.
And you want to, you know...
You want to express yourself.
Right, yeah. But it's just never good enough because you have a little bit of hair over your ear.
Right. Yeah. You know, I got chased out of my talent show by my principal. I got run out of the Civil Air Patrol for not cutting my hair. And I was left off of my job once because the owner of the corporation was going to show up and they didn't want my long hair to be seen.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, so once a pastor called me for a private meeting, just me. I'm like 17 years old. And he brings me down to the church and he meets me there all alone. And he says, I really have something important to talk to you about. I'm like, okay. So I meet him at the church. And he pulls his chair right up to me, and our knees are almost touching, right?
Yeah.
And he looks me straight in the eye, and he's like, I believe that your parents are evil, and you need to get away from them as fast as possible and move out and continue going to this church, of course, but, you know, just separate yourself from your family altogether.
Why?
I don't know why. And because he didn't like my mom, and because my mom is a holy roller, and she casts out demons, for real.
Yeah.
Like, people have serious problems that I could not deal with, and she goes in a room with them, with the Bible, and come out, and they're better. Like, seriously. And her big black friend, Noreen, they would, you know, do, like, seriously exorcise demons. And this is a church I was going to when the pastor was telling me my mom was evil.
Right.
And... I mean,
she was also spreading word on Bill Clinton and the Clinton Chronicles. She was talking about abortion and vaccinations. And
then we have some of our Christian friends recently come to visit us, and they said they tried to bring this stuff to their church, and the pastor told them that's not the place for it.
Right. Now, that's a problem we have also found as we tried to educate some more of the Christian population on these topics. We're told, you know, Disney's not evil, and what's a Freemason?
Oh, exactly, yeah. So when we lived in Kansas, I thought maybe I could get a little talk together and go to churches and show you, you know, they would be onto this because they believe in Satan.
Right, they see it all.
And so I get my information together, I have a meeting with this pastor lady, and I go meet her, and I'm talking to her, and I'm presenting, you know, what kind of information I could tell to the teenagers. I really wanted to just talk to the teens because it was all about pop culture. And she's like, well, what is Freemasonry? What is this? What is that? She had no clue about anything. She wasn't interested in my talk. And when I went to leave, I noticed on her desk she had a picture of two little girls dressed as Disney princesses.
Right.
So I'm just like, oh, gosh, I'll never get anywhere here. So I just kind of gave up that idea.
So we see a lot of that. We see that the Christian population really are sold on the Princess Warrior programming. I mean, they're the main consumers of these products of you know, having your daughter dressed up as the little princess. We see it all the time here.
Well, if we could just talk about our next door neighbors for a sec, they're not cool enough to ever hear this in 100 years. But they irk me to no end because the wife... Okay, so he... won my heart the very first day we moved in because he helped us move our boxes in.
Yeah.
And he was a godsend, literally. Like, I told him, you're an angel because we are super tired and we couldn't have done this without you. And from that day on, and then I gave him my books.
Yeah.
And it just went downhill
from there. We've never heard from him again.
Well, the wife won't talk. She won't talk, look to me, nothing. Yeah. Like, and we share a fence. Like, it's not even, we see them every day.
Yeah.
And just the way they act and the way they treat their
She will
pets.
Not look at me.
I don't
they
like
don't care for their pet. Yeah.
I don't like the way she treats the pet. I don't like the way they treat the tree, the nature in the yard. And it's just like everything I look over, I'm like, ah.
Right. And so the moment you start to say something like that, like you were to tell a Christian lady that why doesn't she nurture her garden and love her tree, they would tell you were a pagan.
Right. And this is the part I really hate about fundamentalist Christian churches, because they're all waiting for the world to burn because they see the signs all around them, yeah. Right? And so they're not really putting any investment into the way the planet is right now. And I really, really hate this doctrine, because I believe that, like I said, nature is the temple and God created all these things. You're not supposed to make idols. You're not supposed to have Jesus on a cross.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to have a cross.
Right.
You're not supposed to have a building.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be out there in the glory, in the nature, with each other, not having some prepackaged sermon read to you by the guy who shared it with, 150 other people get the same sermon that week or whatever. And so, here's another point I want to make. So let's talk about, what's that called? Fred Phelps Church?
Oh, yeah.
In Kansas? Mm-hmm. Westboro Baptist.
Yes.
Okay, so these are the people who make Christianity look the worst, right?
It's true. These are the God hates fags.
Yeah, God hates fags, and they like picket like soldiers' funerals and all these other, just hateful, hateful things.
Yeah.
And this is the poster boy for American Christianity, because it's what makes mainstream news, because they're there every time.
And I'm thinking, because the news is run by the CIA.
Exactly. And I'm thinking, there is no way in hell that a little church from Kansas has enough money to send half of its congregation around the world monthly, weekly, whenever something happens, to picket in hate, mm-hmm. and make Christians look bad. This is, right. In my mind, it's 100% CIA operation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I would agree.
So, I don't know. It's like, but there are hateful Christians.
Well, there's a lot of self-righteousness.
That's true.
And
And how Christian is Christian enough? I mean, you'll never be good enough for them, and that is against the point entirely if you read the Bible.
Well, that's another thing that I see in the religious, is the constant sense of being judged. And I mean, I swear the one biblical note that I know is, judge not lest ye be judged. And I see the neurosis coming out of these poor Christian children over and over again because of all the judgment that they have to suffer. I see it in you, too.
And, well, yeah, because I'm always like, am I okay? Yeah, like, you know, am I doing something wrong? And yeah. I have to get this out of my mind. Okay, so here's another big point I want to make. And this might derail everybody's mind on the topic real fast, but I want to get it out there. So you've got Christianity that says people are sinful by birth.
Right.
And you've got Satanism that agrees. People are sinful by birth.
Right.
Right? So they're both coming from the same jumping off point. They're just going in opposite directions, that we are fallen, sinful, nasty, beastly creatures.
Right.
And this is something I disagree with.
I could never get my heart around original sin. This is something that it would come to, from a person that has no knowledge of Genesis, and even though, I've read it, I can't come from this perspective of original sin.
Right.
Because I see too much goodness.
I can understand in the realm of maybe we are downgraded genetically. That we were supposed to be higher beings with greater powers, but within these mixtures of Nephilim and genetic modification and Anunnaki and all these things that you need to learn if you're going to talk about Old Testament things.
Right.
Maybe we are, quote unquote, fallen.
Right.
From our original state, right?
Yeah, I can buy into that, the DNA degradation that is has taken the abilities that all of us know that we have, and even Jesus openly states that we would have and that we do have. He says all these miracles and more you will do as well. So there was never a moment when Jesus was saying, don't be like Jesus.
Right. And so in the future, I think that if Christians don't learn to be more loving, then this whole religion is going to be branded as hate speech. Because of your judgmental attitudes, the world is going to reject you altogether and throw the baby out with the bathwater because of your attitude.
And Christianity itself will just become a corporate monstrosity. Another McDonald's, another just, you know, corporate family.
So let's talk about the scariest thing I saw on Halloween.
Talk
about pagans and Christians versus, right?
Right.
So we were just taking a little walk down the neighborhood, and everyone's got their ghoulies out in the yard and their ghosts and their headstones and their vampires. And the yard that had the Ten Commandments in the yard instead of their Halloween decorations, we are just walking down the street and we hear these blood-curdling screams, right? And we're like, what is this going on? And we see the guy getting out of his car with his 7-8-year-old just, like, beating her all the way into the house, like, whipping her, and she's just, like, screaming bloody murder.
Yeah.
And he beats her into the house, and you can hear, we're a block away, you can still hear her screaming from inside the house getting beat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is the Christian example household.
Right.
Against Halloween.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just so crazy because I'm like, I agree with you. Halloween is totally satanic.
Right.
Right? And so if you want to look at it that way, I mean, it's just a terrible satanic holiday where all the girls dress like sluts and all the guys dress like superheroes, and it's the perfect time to sell this corporate characters on people. And even the stores have these big demons, the spirit stores, you know, where you get your slutware and your ghoulies, have a big demon on the sign. It says spirit. And it's just so obvious that this is demonic, but people think it's child's play.
Well, I have to admit, as a child, I was the devil for Halloween.
Yeah.
You know? But there's the whole sense of creativity. You know, the Bible would say we are created in God's image, and God is a creator, and we are creators. And I love making costumes, but it wouldn't have to fall on this satanic holiday. It wouldn't have to fall under devil or any of that. I think that humans need to get out there and be more creative with their own selves all the time.
Right. So Halloween is just like this pressure valve, because we do, like you said, we love dressing up. We love costumes. We love acting plays. You know, we love being characters.
Yes. People take on their character when they are in Halloween.
Yeah. And like you said, we need to have more of this in everyday life. And so it's not just all bottlenecked into this.
Yeah, if I can bond this with the corporate structure and the business structure, which really was, you know, founded out of the Christian structure, this whole concept of professionalism and the fact that that person behind the cash register has to act as if I'm, you know, a thing as opposed to a human. And I too, am expected to not speak to them, share with them, or get in the way of the business, right? That whole structure just... That seems to me, inside of Christianity, the same thing. You can walk into a church and you've got to act in this particular manner. None of those people act that way at home,
mm-mm,
right? But they walk in that church and they put on that persona, their professional persona or their Christian persona. And it bubbles right into our society to where now we're interacting with hundreds of people all the time, every day. And yet there's no bond between us in a human sense.
Isn't it strange how Christians are so obsessed with how they look to other people, but they always get it wrong?
This is true. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, honestly, people, you can only judge others by how you judge yourself. Okay. There is no attribute you can put on somebody else that you don't know from your own internal dialogue. So realize any judgment you place on someone is really your own personal judgment of yourself.
Right.
You can't know anything else.
Right. And so to say to all these people, I mean, I am a Christian.
Yeah.
I don't think Freeman would say that, but there's no way I can separate my whole paradigm from what I'm learning. And I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I do recognize there's always more to the story. And this is what we're going to get into in the second hour, where we go over the Gospel of Matthew. And I took a lot of notes, and it's going to be a Holy Spirit sermon, so I hope you tune into that. But I do use Christianity. I mean, when a friend came over, said he's having problems in his house because his roommate bought a Ouija board and had been playing with it, and he feels evil spirits in the house, and he's scared. The first thing I did was give him a Jesus candle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I gave him a Bible,
yeah.
And I gave him some colloidal silver, yeah. And some garlic, and some sage. So
full vampire kit.
Exactly, the yeah. full vampire kit. But the center point was Jesus, and he did say that it really helped a lot, and they got rid of the Ouija board, and nothing strange happened after that.
Well, that is another point here, because now we get to the Jesus model. Now, the closest I ever actually got to Jesus was when I lived with the Bride of Christ. And I really so enjoyed Rose and her family that I could bond with the Jesus that they were sharing with me. And I had a nice painting of Jesus in my classroom. I lived in a classroom. We lived in an abandoned high school. And I could easily commune with that character I saw in the painting. Now, this wasn't... It's a curious thing when people ask you, what religion are you going to choose? And I often think of the Sabians that they chose not to choose, and that made them a people of the book. And, you know, you had to be a person of the book back in the day, people, or you were killed. And so the Sabians are an interesting study of people that had to follow these rules but yet didn't. And I would find myself in the character of the Sabians, or the Metasabians, as we are. But this concept of choosing a religion, which religion would you choose? Now, I don't have a choice. I look around me.
You don't really
me.
Get to choose.
No, it's Christian tenfold around me. I wouldn't even have a Muslim or a Jewish or any other religion represented for me to choose from to see. You know? And why would I go find some guy in a black habit with his crazy curls and some weird box on his forehead? You know, that's not going to be my first choice. But a lot of people chose Judaism because they could then practice usury. So now we're back to choosing for political reasons or monetary reasons. So why would I choose a religion? Well, when I sat there with Jesus in the Bride of Christ house in the abandoned high school, you know, he was a character that I could fully commune with, that I could bond with, because it was my character as well to go and feed loaves and fishes. That was all I've done all my life, is wandered around this earth and feed things. I still just wander around this earth and feed things. That's what I do. And you know, I like what Jesus has to say, but I don't know what Muhammad had to say. So, you know what I mean? I'm kind of left in this pickle. But I can say that I could bond with that character, but it has not been written into my script.
And there's a lot of new things coming out now. Maybe not new, but people coming from the perspective that Jesus never existed, that the Gospels were written by Romans.
Now, there is no proof that Jesus ever existed.
Right.
Now, and let's just keep that straight on the board, because everybody has tried. And I don't mean to interrupt, but everybody has tried. And there is no definitive history of Jesus at all. It doesn't exist. The only history is from Paul, but as another character.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I don't think you should say that.
Well, give me proof.
Well, there's like Josephus and other
Josephus
writers.
Is believed to be Paul.
I know this is all in like David Icke's books that Jesus.
No, there's way more studies into Josephus and how this was a creation to follow the Bible. So, I mean, the fact that there's only one, okay, if we're going to even admit Josephus into it, then the fact that there's only one historian, and not even a very good one, in the entire world that ever wrote anything about this amazing person.
But then there was also, like, Tales of St. Isa, so there's another, like, path that you can take in studying the life of Jesus, not just his growing up in Egypt, but then going east to Tibet and learning what they had to learn in the mountain and coming down and teaching the common people, and then he got kicked out of there and came back to Jerusalem. There's studies about that.
Right. I have to remain,
agnostic.
Yeah, I guess so, because I have yet to find evidence.
Right. And then there's all these, things that Jesus is an astrological character.
Sure.
Right. Yeah, and has things in common with Horus and things like that. So, but for the purposes of this show and the shows that we're going to do about Christianity, I'm just going to go off the basis that Jesus was a real person.
Okay, and I'll be the counter, I'm not even going to try and counter it because I have no proof that he didn't exist.
Right.
So,
he can exist in your heart.
Well, that's what most Christians say. They say you have to have faith.
Right.
And that's when you start getting back to the book instead of the concept. Because now all of a sudden I'm being asked to have faith that humans on planet Earth were able to compile the knowledge of God into a written text that's 66 books long with the ones that they also left out. And I'm supposed to believe that these humans never manipulated that book for their own profit.
Oh, I'm not saying that. The Bible is infallible. I won't say that.
Yeah. See, so there's many layers to this story because you've got to look at it. But as you said, I cannot throw the bath out with the bath water.
The baby out, yeah. Well, Jesus out with the bath water.
This thing's bigger than a baby.
Yeah.
Because this book, the Bible, has been around all this time, and the amount of intelligent scholars that have worked on this book, studied it, the amount of religious study that goes on shows me there's absolutely something to this. Would we really dedicate so much attention to something?
And if we can just go off on a real quick tangent, if we're talking about the Bible and the Old Testament, Torah is really a piece of digital codex.
Well, isn't that the truth?
Right?
Yeah.
Foretelling the future, and you couldn't even understand it unless you had a computer, and then they realized that it's not just a sequential thing, it's also a matrix, and so they can get even more predictions out of the Torah. It's a mathematical marvel.
Yes. What we're talking about here is the Bible code, and the concept is to understand that every letter in Hebrew is a number. Therefore, the Bible is actually a massive mathematical problem with correlations that go beyond our understanding, where the numerology, the numbers of the letters that go to man and woman, equal the number that equals that is the word child. And so there's all types of correlations that are beyond our calculations and would be impossible for some nomadic, illiterate, crazy people. The Bible has some serious mystery in the Hebrew in there.
It can only be understood by a supercomputer. So yeah. What wrote that?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So let's get into some solutions as we wrap up this first part, and some things that maybe Christians can do because I see a lot of people falling away from this, and I don't want to...
Dramatically.
Yeah, and saying, I've quit church, and that's fine. But don't quit Jesus.
Yeah.
You can quit the contraption of Christianity, but don't give up on the whole thing, because I do think that there are solutions for the world's troubles in the words of Jesus. And I'll tell you a quick story. One time when we lived in Lawrence, it was at a time where we were inundated with people who needed a place to crash.
Yeah.
On the floor, on the couch, on the rug, in the closet.
We discussed this a bit in the gathering show.
Yeah. And so I'm just frazzled and worn out at this point. And these Christians come to the door. And I answer the door. And they're like, can I tell you about Jesus? And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, I'm already a Christian. I've been to church my whole life, blah. And they said, oh, that's great. And I said, you know what I really need? I need help. I have all these dudes that they need food, they need rides, they need jobs, they need rides to court, they have appointments to make. Do you have anybody in your whole congregation who can help me with this pack of misfits? Yeah. And they said, no, not really. We have no resources for giving, nothing where they can stay, nothing. No, we can't help.
But they could come to our sermon.
Oh, yeah, but they can come to church. And I was just like, what are you even for? Like, yeah. If you can't help me help people, then what is your point?
Well, he literally said that you were more Christian than he.
Well, that's true. And then when you came out, they just, like, attacked you and tried to make you say the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
And that's when I was like, oh, it's time to go. You know, you have to, like, put your spell on him.
Yeah, and let me just admit that I have said all the Christian magic spells. I'm sorry. I know you hate me when I call them magic spells.
I don't mind. That's fine.
But I've said the words, you know? And and again, if we were to look to a character for salvation, for a modus operandi that could save the planet, I would look to Jesus. I really would. I think the words there are very strong. And again, these are simply the red words in the Bible. All the rest can just go away.
And yeah, and what if Christians figured out that people need help in the three-dimensional world? And this is the point I want to make about when you were talking about feeding the 5,000 with the loaves and fishes.
Mm-hmm.
People need help before they can open their minds to deep esoteric concepts.
Yeah.
Okay? If Christian soul winners would go door-to-door and say, hello, we're here to help. We're here to, do you need help with laundry? Do you need an errand run? Do you need a screw fixed? Do you need a light bulb replaced? And, you know, what do you need?
Yeah.
They would be so much more receptive than if you just gave them a little track and said, come to our church.
Yeah.
They don't have time for that, okay? Ain't no body got time to listen to this stuff when they have real world problems. And so that's why Jesus fed them first and gave them the sermon second.
There you go.
Right? And so what if we really did love our neighbor, like you said? I mean, how much could this heal the world if you really, really just loved everyone around you and didn't... Yeah, we're going to get deep into this in the next hour, because I have a whole slew of notes about the red words in the Bible and the life of Jesus. So that's, I don't know, I guess that's where we kind of want to leave it. And
well, I wanted to add the irony of how we actually got many of those needy people out of our house, because there was a point where we had to tell them they had to go. So I think you simply told them, okay, if you're going to stay, then we're going to church.
Oh, exactly. I did.
And they all left.
That's how I got them to scatter. Because they said, yeah, we're all going to church on Sunday. And miraculously, Saturday night, we had an empty house. So it did work.
There's your Jesus banishing spell.
Yeah. But so why would the world, the secular world, why would they work so hard to suppress Christianity and Jesus if it was mind control suited to their message?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true. Because they're taking Jesus out of school, they can't even say God bless you.
Right.
Right? At school.
Right.
But they can go to class and learn the five pillars of Islam.
Yeah.
So it's just, there's a real big discrepancy, like, why is Jesus hate speech and Islam isn't?
Right.
So...
You're absolutely correct, and I will still stand on that there have been many miracles in Jesus' name. There has been much that has been done to dismantle this demonic system thanks to Christian diligence, and there is so much knowledge that we all have gathered in this community, this new red pill community that came straight from the Christian heart that wanted us to see the true satanic works operating around us at all times. I guess Jamie and I's message now is for those Christians to also see the satanic works within their own paradigms.
Yep.
To understand the Princess Warrior programming, the fear of Disney that they should have, their movement away from the military-industrial complex, because it is often God and country that leads to the military-industrial complex's funding, right? That they continue to support this without the full understanding of seeing, instead of just saying, hey, that's satanic, seeing the underpinning situation that includes military intelligence, operations like MKUltra, and the use of mind control on them and everyone else. So once they can get beyond the boundaries and open their understandings to the true occult nature of what's going on, and recognize their own spiritual power that does come from these type of human manifestations, these ability, our ability to practice magic, our ability to create miracles, as Jesus had said.
And the foundation of, you know, Christianity is love and forgiveness.
Right.
And this is the cure for trauma-based mind control.
Right.
Right? You can't have, you can't round up the perpetrators and execute them.
No.
Because it's just way too complex for that. We have to, therapy, you know, it has to be rehabilitation, forgiveness, and love. And that is something they do not want us to understand at all.
Absolutely. Let's return to the congregation, people. Let's gather together and share our love. And that, to me, is the most Christian thing you could possibly do. So thank you all for tuning in to the Free Zone. 10 wonderful years of broadcasting to you. I'm so glad you guys have been along for the ride. And I hope to get you something special this year for our 10-year anniversary. So stay tuned and stay vigilant, because the world is a crazy place and we're going to uncover everything we possibly can about it right here on Freeman TV. So see you next week.
We all live in different realities. There's no doubt about that. They're trying to form a one unified reality. But as we start to look towards what we're trying to actually get to, and that is liberty, freedom, justice for all, which is a global cry. We are now knowing within from all the internet realms that this is a global cry. It doesn't matter if you're in the Netherlands, in Africa, in Peru, or wherever. We're all saying the same thing all over the globe. All over the globe. Namah Shivaya. Om Namo. Om Namo. Namo. And so you can't reject anything that comes your way. The universe is trying to speak to you and give you what you need, but you're rejecting it because you think you know what you deserve and what you need, which has all been conditioned and programmed by our culture creators such as Walt Disney, Monsanto, and everyone else. So the answer to our problem is actually invisible, and it is called synchronicity, but it's an answer that no one can show you. No one can show you. And so now we're asking humanity to have faith in humanity when the Dark Brotherhood is making it so impossible to do so. Because we think all of this is our fault. Because we think all of this is our fault. Because we think all of this is our fault. So we need to find that faith in humanity, because listen to all these people that have come out here, every single one of them, a loving, caring, nurturing being that just wants to uplift humanity. Well, that's the majority. Well, that's the majority. Well, that's the majority. The television's telling you the total opposite. Fear those people in a van. Fear, don't go outside. You know, you don't want to be meeting around with people. And that's exactly what you should be doing. 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 And the synchronicities will start to unfold, and then you'll actually believe in miracles. Anything that comes your way, go with it and do it to your fullest. You know, that's my message to the world, because it'll guide you to your soul's purpose. And if you let your light shine, you know, to your fullest when something comes your way, then it'll magnify and become even more than you ever anticipated. And the best thing is that everything's better than you could have ever dreamed it. Everything's better than you could have ever dreamed it. Everything's better than you could have ever dreamed it. And I know that's a hard message to sell when the BP oil spill, with the volcanoes, with the corruption, with everything that's going down, the police state, you know, all of it. It's hard to tell people to regain their faith in humanity, to forgive the anger that you have for these people that have trespassed on you, and to just start seeking the new existence. But we have to. That's what we have to do. We're the voice now. We're the voice now.